I'm not sure if you can hear it, but they're all chanting.
On March 15th, 1.4 million students and supporters walked out of a school in protest of climate action.
The momentum that this movement has managed to gain is spectacular. Starting from a singular protest in August by a 16-year-old from Sweden, Greta Thunberg, and spreading around the world to over 2,000 cities in 128 countries.
These actions are generating powerful sounds and images, staring us in the face and speaking to truths that we cannot continue to ignore.
Hello, I'm Bianca.
And I'm Paloma, and you are listening to The Climate Press, a podcast where we aim to bring together climate science with public understanding and action.
Today on the show, we'll be sharing sounds and perspectives from the student strike actions that are gaining momentum worldwide, alongside perspectives of climate researchers who are also gaining inspiration from this group of young activists.
I am here today because I feel the government isn't making enough of a priority about the climate, and I want to protect the climate for future generations.
We're here to support our future and support the future of the people after us and those generations after us, because at the end of the day, nothing else matters at the end of that. And I think it needs to be on the news every single day that this is what's happening, and that in 12 years' time, either we'll have a future or we won't.
I feel like it's one of the most pressing issues at the moment. Obviously, Brexit and all that is important, but it's not going to matter if we don't have a planet to live on in 12 years. Climate change is the most important.
We know the numbers, but we don't know the consequences.
We are here today with Tom Richardson. He's a postdoctoral researcher at the School of Earth and Environment at the University of Leeds. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
So what does 12 years refer to?
So what 12 years actually refers to is findings from the recent report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change about the timescale over which we need to reduce our carbon emissions if we want to limit the mean warming of the planet to 1.5 degrees. So to have a good chance of keeping warming below 1.5 degrees, we need to reduce our carbon emissions by 45% by 2030, which was 12 years from when the report was written, and then down to zero by 2050. So these are ambitious targets, which would require quite urgent and wide-ranging transitions in our society. So the pledges made by countries as part of the Paris Agreement are not currently enough to meet these targets. The reason for having these targets is to try and limit the harmful impacts of rising temperatures. So the impacts which are felt by us as individuals, they vary very much depending on where you live and how well equipped the country you live in is to adapt to changes. For us here in the UK, we expect heatwave events like we had last summer and this February to become more frequent and more intense. Also, we expect heavy rainfall events which lead to flooding and to increase as temperatures rise. But we elsewhere in the world, extreme weather and rising sea levels and changes to food and water supplies will make some parts of the world very hard to live in. So we may find that there are climate refugees that need somewhere to live. So the planet has already warmed by 1 degree since pre-industrial times, and the effects are already being felt. And the more warming which occurs, the greater these impacts will be. And exceeding the 1.5 degree target by just 0.5 degrees would significantly increase the risks of drought, floods, extreme heat, and poverty for hundreds of millions of people.
From what Tom has told us, it sounds like we do have an idea about some of the consequences and inequalities associated with climate change. Helping to bring this information together with public action, researchers and climate scientists were also taking to the street in support of these strike actions. Here are Kate Locke, Julie Mayer, and Andy Challoner of the Priestley International Centre for Climate at the University of Leeds.
So we're here to today, but I think we're doing what we should be doing. We need to be engaging with the public. We need to be here helping people, and people have got lots of questions, so we're here to try and answer those questions, and also to learn ourselves, I think.
There's much more information out now. They don't believe the lies, they don't believe the fake news that they're being told, that there's nothing to worry about, and they don't believe the agendas of the fossil fuel companies.
So I'm Andy Challoner, a Professor of Climate Impacts at the University of Leeds. I've been doing research on climate change and climate impacts. This is my 20th year of research in that area, and I really strongly support the strikes, because in fact they've woken me up and made me realise that there does have to come a time at which you say this is an emergency, action is needed. There's no single day over the last 20 years where I've woken up and thought this is an emergency, because you just get used to the area you're working on and you don't really think. And the fact that these strikes are happening show that the next generation are thinking and they need to be thinking, and I fully support them.
Regardless of their age, these strikers and their actions have been making an impact.
I'm here to save our planet and animals.
I want to save all the animals who are living in danger from climate change.
Well, it's our future, and we're not the ones who are allowed to make the decisions. So we're trying to make an impact to make sure that we have a good future.
We are the spark that lights this fire of this climate emergency.
I'm here because I couldn't possibly sit at work and know this was happening in my town centre and not come and show my support. So I've offered to marshal today, and it's really inspiring to see all the young people here today.
And I think it's a good way to kind of bring people together, particularly in a time where there's so many parts of the world that are fractured. Having so many cities around the country, around the world, participating in this together is really great, and a really positive way for like younger people to get involved socially and politically and be more engaged.
So we need to do something, and today this is the first step into something great. I hope you're ready to march, right?
For those of you who are interested in learning more about the strikes and strike actions and how they're being organized, there are a few websites that you can go to for more information. SchoolStrikeForClimate.com is one, and FridaysForFuture.org is another that reports on the number of participating countries and individual strikers as well.
You can also be up to date following the hashtag in Twitter, #ClimateStrike and #FridaysForFuture. And to find more information, you can find links in our website, theclimatepress.com.
The next set of strikes are planned for Friday, April 12th, in case you want to get out and strike.
Go, go, go!
So you might be wondering why we've decided to create this podcast now.
First, because that information about climate change is not always accessible and often written in technical terms. Also, not all the information that people have access to is evidence-based and accurate.
Using this podcast as a platform, we hope to address these two issues. Particularly in this time of strike actions and protests, information is power. And young or old, if we're going to be taking to the streets, we want to be informed. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes and follow us on Twitter using @TheClimatePress.
And if you want to get in touch with us, please visit our website, theclimatepress.com.
See you soon!
And remember, make love, not CO2.